Good afternoon, it's 5:06 and 58 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
We have plans started for the parking garage and the hotel by May 1st, 2021.
Moorhead City Council met this afternoon to discuss the downtown TIF district development.
Moorhead State's clinical psychology program earned a top 20 ranking.
Kentucky Works is helping pair tech workers with jobs.
1 month later, Rowan residents are feeling the impact from winter storms.
An anti-riot bill is headed to the full House.
In sports, the teams at Moorhead State University have a busy weekend.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Increasing clouds tonight with a low around 39. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Developers of the Downtown Tax Increment Financing Board in Moorhead will have additional time to secure a construction agreement. The City Council met in special session today to discuss a resolution to amend the development agreement between Luckett and Farley Development, the City, and the Downtown Moorhead Redevelopment TIF District Special Fund Board to extend the deadline for a construction agreement for a hotel. Councilman Glenn Teager says the agreement means the developer will now be obligated to have plans for the parking garage and hotel by May 1st of this year.
The reason we're kind of in a hurry on this and why we're trying to get on the agenda Monday and why we're doing a special meeting today is, you know, his plans to close on the Carol McDaniel property next week, and he didn't want to do that without this in place. So it's coming for us. I think the TIF meeting, we're going to do what, Monday? And then I think magistrates get it on Tuesday. And that's all just so that he can meet his timelines with the closing, because he's put her off a couple times and he didn't want to do it anymore.
The amended agreement was approved by the council. The new resolution extends the agreement for construction of a downtown hotel to January 19th, 2022.
Moorhead State University's Master of Science in Clinical Psychology earned a top 20 ranking from Best Value Schools. The program plays a unique role in educating future mental health care providers to work in Appalachia. Dr. Daniel Maitland is an assistant professor in the Department of Psychology at MSU. He says the program met bestvalueschools.org standards.
Looking at a number of variables, such as the cost of tuition, as well as the number of faculty members, among other things.
The faculty-student ratio is one of the program's biggest points of pride. Maitland says students are able to have many advising opportunities, and the extra attention allows for more awareness of future careers.
University of Kentucky Human Resources and the College of Social Work are partnering to improve mental health resources to be more inclusive. Officials say stress over the past year has looked different for everyone, including minority groups, with the increased racial tensions and challenges in 2020. Dr. Jay Miller, Dean of the College of Social Work, tells LEX18 that a lack of representation can be a barrier to access adequate mental health support.
This partnership is one that really realizes that every unit, particularly in an academic environment, has some kind of responsibility to ensure that folks are receiving good mental health services.
Miller says some of the mission goals include expanding telehealth services to make therapy more easily accessible and hiring additional providers who represent a wider variety of diverse groups.
Nearly twice as many people are unemployed than before the coronavirus hit, but in Louisville, leaders say the demand for software engineers, coders, and IT support is strong, and they're working to get people connected to these opportunities. Michael Gritton heads Kentuckiana Works, the Workforce Development Board for Louisville and surrounding counties. He says another initiative that partners Jefferson County Public School students with local industries gives students access to learning beyond traditional high school curriculum and equips them with industry certifications, work experience, and college credits.
15 of the schools in Jefferson County Public Schools are now organized around academies, things like healthcare or manufacturing or information technology. And we oftentimes now are recruiting businesses to become partners with those academies.
The Kentucky Chamber of Commerce says the state's labor participation rate is still lower than before the pandemic.
Grade school students in Kentucky may soon have access to funds to allow more choices in where they go to school. WMKY's Josh Grogan has more.
The Kentucky House of Representatives approved House Bill 563 by a 51-45 vote following a three-hour debate on the House floor. The bill's sponsor, Representative Chad McCoy, says it will allow students to use education opportunity accounts to attend public schools outside his or her district. The bill lays out 12 things the money can be spent on, which includes public school tuition, fees, tutoring services, textbooks, and uniforms. Opponents of the bill called for lawmakers to pass legislation to invest in public school education instead. The school choice bill will now move to the full Senate for consideration. For WMKY News, I'm Josh Grogan.
Residents are still feeling the impact of a series of winter storms that hit Kentucky last month. Cleanup is still ongoing after thousands went without power for several days. Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark says some people are still waiting for water to be restored to their homes.
The power out on the pump that services them, it's a pump that pumps it up the hill. The power went out, so the pump froze and broke. So they're waiting on a pump now, so there's a few families that still don't have water as a result of the ice storm and the power outage.
Clark is asking residents to report storm damage to the County Emergency Management Director in order to apply for relief from the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Residents of Boyd and Carter County have also been facing some challenges. Since last month's ice storm, many are still without phone or internet services. Boyd County resident James Leak tells WSAZ power isn't the only issue.
We had my power back on within 4 days after the second round of the ice storm on February 19th. And trees have all been cleared from the roadways and off the power lines, off the phone lines. And if I'd have one and something would happen to my cell phone, I'm going to have to go back down to two to five miles away just to get a signal.
Windstream says the phone and internet services should be restored to everyone by the end of the week.
Last month's ice storm is still causing issues for one woman in Morgan County as well. The ice storm caused a tree to fall on Norma Pack's home in West Liberty. Pack has been sleeping on the couch out of fear that the tree will cause the ceiling to collapse into her bedroom. Pack says she was startled in the middle of the night and woke up to a tree on her roof.
When that hit, I was afraid to go in my bedroom, really, because I didn't know whether the trees were going to come straight down or what. I took a flashlight and looked, and that was enough for me.
Pack received help from her neighbor, and they were able to reach out to county and state officials to evaluate her options. She says her insurance will not cover the damage to the house, and she does not have the funds to pay for repairs.
Last week, flooding left behind a mess in Martin County, and the cleanup process is impacted by a lack of access to water. Kentucky 292 is where some of the major issues are being reported. Martin County native Chris Taylor tells WYMT it's a hard time for the community.
It's very frustrating. You can't, not enough water to wash clothes, wash dishes, to cook with.
Others in the community also feel they are being left behind as around 100 customers wait for their water to be restored. The goal is to very soon have all customers with not just good water pressure, but also an adequate water supply.
Legislation that would primarily increase the punishment for crimes committed during a riot passed the Kentucky State Senate yesterday by a 22-11 vote. WMKY's Shamari Mosley has the story.
Lawmakers say the goal of Senate Bill 211 is to protect communities, first responders, and public and private property. Named the Community and First Responder Protection Act, Senator Danny Carroll says SB 211 would discourage out-of-state agitators from inciting riots in Kentucky. Other sections of the bill would provide consequences for local governments who are negligent for failing to protect the personal safety and property of their residents. Opponents of the bill say it is not the answer to the systemic problems the activities highlighted, and there are already laws on the books to deal with riotous behavior. SB 211 now goes to the full House for consideration. For WMKY News, I'm Shamari Mosley.
A hearing was held Tuesday on legislation to limit the Ohio governor's emergency powers. Under Ohio Senate Bill 22, the General Assembly could repeal public health orders. Father Gabriel Lavery is the pastor of Our Mother of Perpetual Help Catholic Church in Sulphur Springs. He says some of his parishioners were disheartened by the Ohio governor's stay-at-home order, and he thinks Ohioans should have a voice in those types of decisions.
I'm not talking about putting a price on life. What we are weighing is the risk to life versus how much these mandates affect our lives.
The governor says he would veto the bill if it passes, but also will work with lawmakers to adapt it.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, partly sunny with a high near 56. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 38. Sunday, a 50% chance of showers, mainly after 8 a.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 49. Sunday night, a 30% chance of showers, mainly before midnight, cloudy with a low around 36. Monday, 80% chance of showers, mainly afternoon with a high near 53.
On our feature segment today, commentator Dr. John Modaff says it's time for some spring cleaning. Why not hop on the street sweeper that's roaring by and start with language?
Welcome to Sanitizing Language, Part X. All words containing his, him, man, or men, or a male-sounding name must go, including general vocabulary, Mensa, amenable, amendment, amen, Bobby socks, Bob haircut, Rob or Baron, counting, manufacture, manual, commensurate, commencement, compliment, mentality, ornate, saltpeter, stimulation, portamento, and might as well chuck the Peter principle, calendar, you get the idea. Work your way through the dictionary and prepare ye to be horrified at the male domination. Sorry, I said domination. On to other areas where work needs to be done. Toys, along with Mr. Potato Head, surely one that needs to go is Barbie, because bars are a place where men are known to flirt with women. G.I. Joe, gotta go, the entire Mattel company. You finish up. Superheroes, Iron Man, Batman, Superman, Green Hornet, appropriating green, Human Torch, Spider-Man, Flash, clearly a sexual pervert, Aquaman, Green Arrow, clearly phallic, Dark Knight, Dr. Manhattan, Hellboy, and oh, we need to change Luke Cage to Lucia Cage. City names, Manhattan, gotta go, Mansfield, Ohio, Sherman, Texas, just too many to get into here today. The nation, you might think the U.S. state names are okay, but take another look at the subliminal sexism. Alabama, Arizona, California, Delaware, Georgia, aside, the first state with a woman's name turns around and insults her, Idaho, Kentucky, Louisiana, North and South Dakota, though Dakota can be a woman's name too, so maybe not. Still, if a name could be a male name, isn't it best to bob it? Ohio, or Redgon, wherein the reg is red as Reg, which is short for Reggie or Reginald, and possibly Wisconsin, as Con is short for Connie, which can be a man's name. Once the dictionary, our toys, common names, and the breadth of idiom in the country have been sanitized, or rather demanitized, we might then and only then turn to side issues which need attention, such as the coming economic collapse, crumbling basic utilities, and the battle over whether eggs are health food. Oh, and other little things like the assisted suicide of K-12 public education, inequity in height and shoe size among people, and the crisis in spelling. So much to do. But first, the language. Let's roll. Never mind. I'm John Modaff, if that's all right.
Dr. John Modaff is an author and retired professor of speech from Morehead State University.
Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center, presenting the Appalachian Arts and Entertainment Awards Saturday, March 20th at 7 p.m. A virtual event. Tickets can be purchased online at cmh23.com. Awards presented by the Mountain Arts Center, Big Sandy Community and Technical College, Prestonsburg Tourism, CMH23, Highlands ARH, and UK Healthcare Markey Cancer Center. The Appalachian Arts and Entertainment Awards on Saturday, March 20th. Tickets and information online at cmh23.com.
It's 58 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Daria Denisenko. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Shamari Mosley has a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad that you can spend time with us at the end of your work week.
It's a busy sports weekend for Morehead State.
For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley. Morehead State's baseball team is hosting a three-game series with Eastern Kentucky University this weekend. Game 1 started at 3 p.m. at Allen Field. Head coach Mick Aoki says the long-standing rivalry between the teams adds a new element to the game.
It's our opening conference weekend, and by and large, any OVC team's path to the postseason and to the NCAA is winning the OVC championship. And so this is step one toward trying to fulfill that goal and bring that goal to fruition.
The two teams face off tomorrow at 1 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. Live coverage is available at msueagles.com. Morehead soccer team is battling it out with Eastern Kentucky University this afternoon. The Eagles are looking for their first win of the season after falling to Tennessee Tech at home Tuesday. Head coach Warren Lipka says the Colonels are in the same boat with an 0-2 record.
It's going to be a fight. You know, it's just, you know, they're in the same thing, trying to change their momentum and, you know, trying to keep them close to, you know, the bottom of the getting into the tournament. You know, the tournament this year is only 4 teams, so there's a, you know, a lot of people going to try to, you know, just force to do some things that need to do to get there.
Live stats are available at msueagles.com. The Eagle football team opens conference play in South Carolina tomorrow. Morehead is looking for their first win of the season against Presbyterian College. Head coach Rob Tenier says both teams have one game under their belt.
And now we're up to 25, 26 practices, so I think we've been able to develop fundamentally and improve in some areas and, you know, get our legs under us a little bit too, because the conditioning part's been a huge aspect. Well, looking forward to watching us go out and compete this weekend.
Game time on Saturday is set for noon. You can listen to the Eagles live on our sister station, WIVY. The Morehead State softball heads to Austin Peay for a three-game series this weekend. The Eagles stand at 4-6 on the season, while the Governors have a 6-4 record. Head coach Samantha Jones says Austin Peay has a really good program.
Not only currently, but just in the past, well known for just defense, pitching, and hitting. So just a well-around team, always usually in the top five in the conference. And so we're just excited to continue to compete. It's obviously going to be beautiful weather down there. They have a beautiful facility. I think I've heard like at least a 25% capacity when it comes to fans. So a lot of good things are looking up for our program.
The first game is set for 5 p.m. tomorrow. A doubleheader will begin at 2 p.m. Sunday. Live stats and information is available at msueagles.com. The Morehead State volleyball team will host Belmont this weekend. The Eagles stand at 10-0 on the season, coming off of a three-game sweep over Tennessee Tech Monday. Associate head coach Kristen Becker says the Bruins will be coming into the game hoping to get a win and qualify for the Ohio Valley Conference tournament.
They just took a set off of Jacksonville State, which is what Tech was able to do last weekend. It was a strong right side, and they have a newer coaching staff that's really had a lot of time to work with their athletes now, and so they're another team that's continuing to get better over the weekend.
Game time at Johnson Arena is set for 6 p.m. on Sunday. As Selection Sunday creeps closer, the MSU men's basketball team is focused on improving their game while they wait to see who they will play in their first NCAA tournament game in a decade. Coach Bratlin said the team is anxious to learn their opponent. The long break was welcome.
You know, the beautiful thing is you get your tournament knocked out, first ticket punched last weekend, and we had an entire week to enjoy our championship. And so looking forward to getting better this week, taking advantage of the extra rest time and time to work on us as opposed to worrying about an opponent. And we'll get ready to anticipate what our draw and our seed and opponent is going to be come Sunday.
Senior forward James Baker is among the players enjoying the lull before the team starts tournament play. Winning an Ohio Valley Conference championship is especially meaningful for him.
It means a lot, especially from the last 3 years, turning everything around, winning 8 games our freshman year. It means a lot to be the senior and to be the leader on the team to the NCAA tournament in my senior year. I'm just thankful for the guys and thankful for the moment to get to the NCAA tournament.
2021 will be the Eagles' 8th trip to the legendary March basketball tournament. Their last appearance was in 2011. The Eagles finished a regular season with a 23-7 record. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Moorhead Primary Care at 333 Beacon Hill Road. Moorhead Primary Care welcomes physicians assistants Kevin Cummins and Alicia Perry, accepting new patients with a focus to build patient and provider relationships for acute and chronic illnesses. Moorhead Primary Care remains committed to the health of our community during this COVID-19 crisis. Office appointments and telehealth available at 606-780-0444. That's 606-780-0444. Or visit the website at moorheadprimarycare.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped to another record high as rising reopening optimism continued to encourage the rotation into cyclical stocks. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 293.05 at 32,778.64. The S&P 500 was up 4, so the S&P 500 hit a record high, even though it just crept up a little bit, finishing at 3943.34. The NASDAQ Composite was under pressure because of weakness in the tech sector, finishing down 78.81 at 13,319.87. Bank and financial stocks both were strong, and these were gaining on the back of higher interest rates, as you had Goldman Sachs and finishing with a gain of 2%, and J.P. Morgan was up 1.2%. And among economically sensitive stocks, Boeing was up 6.8%, and Caterpillar was up 4.2%. And the 10-year Treasury yield jumped more than 0.1% to finish at 1.64%. And this did pressure the tech sector, as shares of Alphabet and Facebook were both down 2%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.5% to finish at $65.58 a barrel. Gold was up 20 cents at $1,722.80 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX up 3 cents at $93.85, AEP up $1.04 at $81.04, Marathon Petroleum down a quarter at $57.75, U.S. Bancorp up $1.29 at $54.64, and App Harvest was up $1.06, finishing at $23.33. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking another look at your region's extended weather forecast, tomorrow partly sunny with a high near 56, to Saturday night mostly cloudy with a low around 38, Sunday a 50% chance of showers mainly after 8 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy skies with a high near 49, Sunday night a 30% chance of showers mainly before midnight, otherwise cloudy with a low around 36, Monday 80% chance of showers with a high near 53.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Carrie Stambo, Rachel Turner, Ben Hull, Shamari Mosley, Josh Grogan, Lakin Hupp, Carla Haight, Heather Fannin, and Daria Denisenko. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from commentator Dr. John Modaff. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.